is found in the book of the Psalms. Psalm number is 116. Psalm 116. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compass me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord, and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted, I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord, now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of the saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant, and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and will call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord, now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord. The Lord help us to hear and to heed his word, for Christ's sake.
There are three things that we do at this time of the year. We look back, we look at our present state, and we look to the future. And that is what the psalmist has done. So I'll redirect you to Psalm 116. I'll redirect you to the only question in the psalm, and that is verse 12. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Psalm 116, verse 12. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Had David got in mind here the general benefits which God had bestowed upon him in past days? Or had he got a particular benefit he had in mind when he wrote this psalm, and particularly this verse which triggered it off? This is the only question that he gives in this psalm, but what a question. Can I just remind you, he was living under the shadow of Saul, his archenemy. He had known what it was for betrayal from Ahithophel. He'd known what it was to have a wayward son who had massed his armies against him. And yet he's able to come to this question. And it's a question we should all ask at this time of the year, I feel. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits unto me? Now, unusual for me, I want to look at the last half of the verse first, and the first half second. So I want to just look at some of the benefits that Saul could say that God had given him. Let's have a look at one of them in verse 1. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Notice the fact, well, how he starts the psalm. I love the Lord. Oh, he was a true believer. He loved his Lord God, Jehovah, as he was known in David's day. He knew what it was to have one on whom he could rely, and on whom he could hope, and in one whom he could bring his supplications and his prayer. Can you see David's affection here then, that comes through not only from the first verse, but runs through the whole of this psalm? I love the Lord. What a benefit it is if we could say that this morning. I love the Lord. Oh, it's a tremendous benefit. I work with those who cannot say that. I work with those I would rather not work with, whose language I would rather not hear, because they do not love my Lord. But David was in that enviable position from their point of view, and certainly from ours, when he could say, I love the Lord, for he hath heard my voice. He hath heard my voice. So David's affection comes through here, and he gives praise to his Lord for the benefits of prayer, and more than that, of answered prayer. You know, it's only the believer that can pray. I don't know if you've realized that. Oh, you see, you hear people say, God help me, but that means nothing. It was grace that first taught my soul to pray. And David knew of this grace, and he knew of a God that heard prayer. What a benefit it was about to come to God in prayer. When I look back over the last year, there are times that have really tested me. And I've had trials and I've had tribulations, but I've been able to come to God in prayer. What a benefit it's been. Have you been there, friend, this morning? When you look over your past days. And what about the present day? We've already come to him in prayer. We've met together, some of us, and we prayed in earnestness for today and for many other things. And what of the future? David knew not how long he'd got left on earth, you know. He had no idea how many days there were to run for him. He had so much dangers and so many enemies upon him, and so many trials. And yet he was able to say, he hath heard my prayer and my supplications. He knew what it was to have a God who he could come to. It's marvellous to pray, but to think that God has heard. God has heard. Oh, my dear friends, I don't think I could pray if I didn't know God didn't hear. And I couldn't pray if I knew that God hadn't answered my prayer. What a benefit it is to know that when we pray. But, dear friends, he doesn't always say yes to our prayers. And sometimes we pray and we pray and we have to accept that he said no, but nonetheless, he has heard and he's answered our prayers. And how David knew God had heard. Oh, the benefits when he found that God had dealt kindly with him. What a benefit it is to pray. What shall I render unto the Lord? All his benefits towards me. And even in verse 2, because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. Oh, he had sorrows, and he had trials, and he had troubles. Verse 3, the sorrows of death compassed him, and the pains of hell got hold of him. I found trouble and sorrow. He had nothing in parts of his life. He had nowhere to turn. But there was one to whom he could turn, and what a benefit it was. But whilst his enemies forsook him and his friends forsook him, and he was often left alone, he was able to say, I found trouble and sorrow, but the Lord heard me. He heard me. But in verse 5 we see some more benefits, and it's as if God has showered his benefits upon David. Gracious is the Lord, and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. He is merciful. Gracious and merciful. God in Christ, you see. God in Christ was found to be gracious to David. Gracious. Oh, but David, you've sinned. You've done wrong. You looked upon Bathsheba. You sinned. You had her husband killed. David, you're a sinner. And he would admit it here, I'm sure, if he were here today. Yes, but God is gracious. And God is merciful. The poor sinners. And I look back on my sins in the last year, and even today my thoughts of sin as I've come along, and I'm sure that I shall not be able to keep from sinning in the coming year. Pray that God will help me in these things. But it isn't not all our cases, dear friends. Be gracious and merciful, he's been to me. He could have forsaken me, he could have forsaken me and cast me aside and taken me from the fellowships of which I enjoy so much, but he's been merciful. And through his precious blood and the cross of Calvary, he's been gracious to me. He, you see, after all, is the giver of all grace, to help in time of need. Merciful, compassionate, kind-hearted he is, a heart full of pity. This is my God, through Christ. Just as a father is to his children. Oh, how Christ has sympathized with his people through the ages. How he's understood them fully. When Satan has come and tempted and would have drawn us away. When we have fell in Bypath Meadow. When we have gone our own way. How compassionate and kind-hearted he's been. And I see as I look over my path, dear, a God who is full of pity. A Father who has looked upon his child, who has sympathized with me. And I'm sure you can do the same if you're his this morning. What a benefit it's been. And look at verse 6. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Those of low degree, you see, which he refers here, low of understanding, being babes in Christ, if you wish, to put it as the apostle puts it in his letters. Being new in Christ, being young in the faith. Oh, we know those who need them. We've recently had 6 baptisms at Watership, and we praise God for that. Oh, but they're babes in Christ, dear friends, they're babes in Christ, and aren't we all at one stage or another? And yet David says, look how he's dealt with these people. He has preserved them. He has been with them. The simple, he has brought them low. He's brought me low, and I was low, but he has helped me. He has helped me. What a benefit there is here in Christ. Those he speaks of here in this verse are humble and harmless. He says he preserves them from sin. Oh, how he preserved the believer. What a benefit to be preserved from the final falling away from Christ. Or we might backslide, but be preserved from that final falling away. Preserved from Satan's onslaught. He brings us safe if we're his for the kingdom of glory. David says how he's helped me. What a benefit it was to David being brought so low. But look at verse 8. He gives another benefit. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. My soul from death. You see, the allusion here is the armies of Saul, they're surrounding him. He has on every hand his enemy. It is coming in with a great force. My dear friends, that's today, isn't it? For us who are believers, can you not see the enemy yet? Have you not heard? Have you not seen? Have you not read? We are surrounded by our enemies. And even those within our camps, my dear friends, are often those who have betrayed us. But David says, he has delivered my soul from death. So he wasn't referring just to his body alone, or the Philistines at Gath, or Absalom who rebelled, or Ahithophel who betrayed him. But he's thinking of God, also his own soul, that spiritual death, that real death, where unbelievers engage and go. He's speaking about the regeneration of his soul. He's reflected upon that time when he was looking after the sheep in the field, and Samuel came and said, God has called you to be king of Israel. What, me, a poor shepherd? Well, yes, David, you. And Samuel anoints him with oil. Oh, he says, it delivered my soul from death. I knew God then. God came to me. He made me king of Israel. He set me upon the road to glory. Oh, the benefits that God had laid upon David. What a benefit. The blessings of nature and providence, preservation of his soul. What a blessing. What a benefit. And can you not see in this psalm for David the godliness he engages in here? Can you not see the sanctification and that holy walk with God? Can you not see that pardon of God through Christ? And can we not see the justification here that he has for sin and for death through God and Christ? All these benefits, you see, spring eternally from free grace, and David engages in them. And there are many more that David could have counted, but he's going through them in his mind, and he has a finite mind like you and I. And when we think of the benefits that God has given us, my dear friends, we lose count, and we cannot understand fully the depth of the benefits that God has for us. And as he tries to grasp, as he tries to hold to those benefits which God has given him, he says, what shall I render? What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits towards me. So I think this is a Sunday when we look back at the benefits that God has bestowed upon us as believers. But I have to mention here, of course, he bestows benefits on unbelievers. He gives them the very breath to breathe. He gives them the very food to eat. He gives them the very health to which they survive. And he sees them through this life. They're all God's benefits. They won't see it like that. The unbeliever never sees it like that. He never understands fully the benefits which God has for him. It's only when we come to the position that David came to, when we can say, I love God, and God loves me. It is then that we realize these benefits are from God's hand. They're not from man's hand, or from someone else's hand who can somehow deliver. I heard of a cult the other day that believes we come from some terrestrial being out in space and we've appeared here somehow. Oh, my dear friends, how out of date they are. They thought that in David's day. The Egyptians worshipped gods in their day. There's nothing new under the sun. But we who are believers know that we have this great benefit, that we have one who, yes, is invisible, yet ever present with us. Whoever speaks to us, who answers our prayers, who hears our supplications. This is the one who gives us all the benefits which we enjoy here below. But it's not until we come to know Christ as Saviour that we can see it in that light. But praise God, many of us have this morning. So what shall I render, he says, unto the Lord for all these benefits? Well, of course, it tells us that he wanted to give thanks. That's the first thing that it portrays to me, that here was one who wanted to give thanks to God. This is always God's way for man, to give thanks, to return thanks, if you like, unto God, or to render thanks unto God. We could turn to the New Testament. We would see 10 men there who were sorely distressed and contaminated by that terrible disease, leprosy. The Lord himself healed them. He touched them with his mighty power. And by faith, the gift that was given them, they were healed. But one returned to give thanks. And what did Jesus say? Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Where are the 9? They are not returned to give glory to God. Giving thanks. What shall I render unto the Lord? David says he wants to render thanks, to give God all the glory. Oh, do we give thanks at meal times? I do trust so. I was taught when I was a young lad, right at the very time I was able to feed myself, and before, I remember my mother saying a short prayer for the food. She was rendering thanks unto God for his goodness to us, and ever since we have kept that in our family. Giving thanks, even for the menial things that we might consider of life. Yet they're great benefits. They're great benefits from God. Do we thank him at the end of the day? Do we give thanks for what he's done for us through that day? What shall I render unto the Lord? We should have thankful hearts. I'll turn you very briefly to the book of Ephesians, and just looking at Ephesians verse 5. Ephesians chapter 5, thinking particularly of verse 20. Verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things, you see, for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, for the many blessings of life, for the many benefits, temporal and spiritual. Oh, how often giving thanks. Always. Says the writer, always giving thanks, always. In other words, never forgetting the benefits that God has given us through past days, at the present time, and looking forward to the coming benefits which we know will be at his hand. Oh, how we need the name of the Lord Jesus Christ upon our minds and our hearts and our lips all the day long, giving thanks unto him. But how will the psalmist render it? Well, we look in verse 13. He says, first of all, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will take the cup of salvation. I don't know whether you realise it or not, but this was thought to be one of the psalms which was sung at the Last Supper when the disciples gathered together. After they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Fitting then, isn't it, that David should say, when he thinks of all the benefits God has given him, I will take the cup of salvation. And the Jews, you know, in giving thanks, they used to have a banquet, a great feast, and then at the end of the feast they would take a cup and they would give thanks to God for everything, for every benefit of which they had obtained at his hand. So I believe here the allusion is to that banqueting feast, and perhaps even to the Last Supper, when God, the Lord Jesus Christ at the end of it raised the cup and gave thanks to the Father. But you see, there's more than that here. I will take the cup of salvation, the cup of salvation, for the temple and the eternal things which God has given me, says David. As the master of the family would do at the close of the feast, of the end of the day of the meal, he would take it in his hands and give thanks for the salvation of God. Turn to St. Matthew 26 and verse 27. And Christ took the cup and gave thanks. Took the cup and gave thanks. And then again, of course, in 1 Corinthians, which you no doubt have at your Lord's table, 1 Corinthians 11 and 25. I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits and blindness. Looking at Romans, I'll go to 1 Corinthians 11 and 25. After the same manner also he took the cup, and after saying, this cup is the New Testament of my blood. This is the cup of salvation, dear friends. Can you see it there? This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. David says, how can I thank God? Well, I will take that cup of salvation. I will remember what God has done for me through Christ. I shall render it unto the Lord. This was an act of worship that David would have, and he would thank God for the benefits which were his. But look how he says, I will call upon the name of the Lord in thanks, in prayer for salvation. What a cup. It stands for infinite love, the infinite love that God had for David. It stands for his infinite love that he has for his people. It's full of blessing, this cup. It's ours by faith, and we take it in Christ. What shall I render unto the Lord? I would take the cup of salvation, make it my own, with a joyful heart. I shall magnify the one who filled it for my sake, says David, and I shall drink from that fountain of salvation through God, for Christ has filled it. David was in the temple, he wouldn't have known what the guns was in the temple, what the format was. He wrote this psalm, he wrote it no doubt when he was near the temple. And we get this thought here, you see, of a pouring out of thanks by David. God has poured out salvation into David's life. And David here wants to return and render that thanks for the benefits by pouring out thanks from that cup for the salvation that God had given him, that Christ might fill it full of joy and of love. And David said, oh, what shall I render? But look in verse 14. He can do something else. He can render unto the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of his people. I can pay back, in other words, that which God has promised me and has delivered to me. And I can now, with a vow to him, which I've given and will give and shall give, I will offer a vow to him and pay my vows now by giving thanks unto him for all his benefit. But he's not going to do this in secret. He says, in the presence of his people, in the presence of his people. Can you see this public testimony, this public thanks, this rendering to God for the benefits which God has put upon David? He said, I will do this publicly in the presence of his people. You see, in the temple, there he would do it, so that he and others before God could pay their vows to him. Here I say, David has been a great witness for his God, and he would claim God, the Lord, as being a witness for the benefits that have been given him. I will call upon the name of the Lord, particularly in prayer, but I will call upon him in Christ with faith and with the fervency for which God can give me, and I will give thanks for his mercies and for continuing help. But there's something else he can say. What will I render unto the Lord? In verse 17, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. So it's not just a case of giving thanks and David. No. It's going to cost me something, says David. There's going to be a sacrifice involved. And when I give thanks to God for all he's done for me, it's going to cost me something. Turn you to Romans chapter 6 and verse 17. But God be thanked. But God be thanked. I like that, don't you? That ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Oh, it cost these people something in the Roman church to give thanks to God. They were under deep persecution from the Romans in that day. And it's not something that we can just read from our Bibles, my dear friends. It was very true, and it was very near them. It was very frightening for them. But to even name the name of Christ meant at the very least persecution, and at the worst, death. But God be thanked. God be thanked. Oh, they had benefits poured upon them, this people. But they were going to offer thanks. You see, this thanks is more acceptable than the ceremonial sacrifices which David would have known. A sacrifice which takes something from David, yes, and he would sacrifice. But here in Romans, on the gospel age, the sacrifice would be themselves. Would be themselves to serve God. And in fact, when we turn to Romans chapter 12, and verse 1, we read this. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, here it is, dear friends, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Oh, Paul talks about our reasonable service. Not just a mere presentation of our bodies in public worship, but with heart and with mind and with spirit, knowing that Christ is present. By their bodies is meant themselves, their whole body, their all, their everything, with readiness and willingness. Oh yes, David would have seen this in the tabernacle. He would have seen them slay the beast, whatever that might be, lamb or sheep or oxen, and they would slay it in his presence, laying it upon an altar, presenting the offering to the Lord, you see. Oh, but dear friends, believers don't bring such things as slain beasts. But we bring ourselves. We bring ourselves to Christ. A living sacrifice. Not a dead beast or a dead thing of ourselves. But we render unto the Lord that which he would accept, which is holy, acceptable. That which is separated from the world, that which is holy unto God, ourselves as believers in Christ, acceptable to God. David, your sacrifices were acceptable unto God, for they were within the law. God had ordered it so, but now Christ has come. Now Christ has died on Calvary, the one and only sacrifice, and he asks us to be acceptable unto God through his Son. In our prayer and our praise and our worship, which is our reasonable service for all that he's done for us. What shall we render unto the Lord for all his benefits? We will render ourselves in his service and for his worship and for his good. So you see why these things that we do, even in the worship which we've done today, must be holy and acceptable unto God. We were speaking earlier about those who would change such things, and they have done in our part of suffering. But my dear friends, if we get back to the Word and we follow God's Word, how can we go wrong? And under the Spirit of God, only that which is reasonable, ourselves, sacrificing ourselves back to Him in what we do for Him, Him who created all creatures and angels and beings, rendering our reasonable service. David had searched his heart. David had looked within himself and found this is all he could do for the Lord, was to render unto the Lord that which was reasonable, the benefits for the benefits which were his. David, you see, had come to that place where he realized that he owed everything to God. Everything. As the apostle said, giving thanks always to all things. He looked back over his past, David, and he looked at his present position which he was in the temple surrounded by his enemies, and he looked for future days. There was so much uncertainty in David's life. Now, Monday, tomorrow at 1:30, I shall go to a funeral of a good friend of mine, a Christian friend named Ben Cook, who has been a good Christian throughout the police service all his life, and now he's gone to be with Christ himself. But he was a man who rendered all he could unto the Lord, all his reasonable service. And he was forever saying thanks unto God for all that he had done for him. And it was his day in the police service. And the times when he was my chief inspector, we could have a fellowship that we could have with none other. But he looked to his Lord. And often he would say, what can we render unto God for all his benefits towards us? Not what benefit, says David, but what benefits. Notice the plural. It was not just one thing that David was giving thanks for, God here, but for all the benefits that he was accepting from God. And so I see this verse here in Psalm 116 as the reasonable service of David, offering back to God that which he knew he owed his God. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits towards me? I will take the cup of salvation. I will pay my vows. I'm truly thy servant, he says. I will offer to thee the sacrifice, but particularly that of myself, which is its reasonable service. I will pay my vows in the courts of the Lord's house, he says in verse 19, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem. But look how he finishes the psalm. Having given thanks, having posed this question, having realized and given us the benefits of which he had received and which we have received, he finishes with four words in one sentence. Praise ye the Lord. And when we look at the benefits of which we have of God, when we can see through Christ the benefit of Calvary, and when we can see how he's helped us thus far, we can surely say, praise ye the Lord. There was one who said, Ebenezer, hitherto hath the Lord helped me. And my dear friend, surely we can say in the light of our psalm, he who has helped us thus far will help us all our journey through. What shall I render unto the Lord? That's the question. For all his benefits towards me.
Lord, as we look back over this year, we come to thank thee for every mercy that we have received. We thank thee, Lord, for thy healing touch, and I thank thee, Lord, personally for the prayers of your people and for the answer that I have received in days that have just gone past. We thank thee for healing. We thank thee, Lord, most of all for the mercy of salvation, the love that never changes, the love which shall never cease, the love which is ever the same. And we pray, Lord, this day that the Holy Ghost might shed abroad in believing hearts that love of God in Christ. May our hearts be full of it, and may it be seen, Lord, and it will be. If you shed it abroad in our hearts, it will be seen in every aspect of our lives. Grant that that might be so. May we enjoy the benefit of thy love this day and continually. Part us with thy blessing. Keep us ever close to thee, and be pleased, Lord, to send salvation to needy hearts this day, for Christ's sake. Amen.